Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's interesting, if you were here this morning, Pastor Hagen, I told him this afternoon, I said, you get a great introduction to what my sermon was. At the end of his sermon, he started talking about increase, but his theme about, you know, working and doing our part fits into what the Lord has laid on my heart that I want to kind of start at tonight and probably talk about the next, any time on a Sunday evening that I might be ministering, or my Wednesday night, if ever how that lays out. But on the principles of increase, and specifically, the first principle is the principle of honor. The principle of honor. You could call it the law of increase, the law of honor. But first of all, I want us to turn to Psalm 115, if you got your Bible there with you, if you're following along. Welcome everybody that's watching us. Grab your Bible there. Praise the Lord. You know, when the word gets old to you, is when it stops working for you. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we have to work up some type of, you know, every time someone says open up your Bible, we have to shout or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes you got to have that talk with yourself. I call it the carnal trinity, me, myself, and I. I got to have that talk with myself sometimes. Say, hey, boy, don't you do it. Don't you let this become common. Don't you let this become old to you. Amen? Stay excited about the Word of God. Our God is a God of increase. Here in Psalm 115, verse 12 says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, how many is the Lord looking to bless? Everybody, right? Israel represents the congregation, Aaron, the ministers, them that fear the Lord, everybody who reverences God, even those that might be outside, that come in and get saved. Verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men. Our God is a God of increase. Hallelujah. And with everything of God, there are certain principles. I call principles or laws, whatever you want to call them. Now, you have to be careful in this, you know, in some of the climate of the church today, especially the, you know, the charismatic church or the Pentecost, talking about the law because they think that's a bad word. Amen. How many of you know the law was good and holy? It was, again, the me, myself, and I's who didn't measure up. The law came from God. God never instituted anything that was evil. But how many of you realize there are certain laws and principles that things operate according to? That's what we're talking about when we talk about these principles. A way things are done. All right? You know, there are certain laws that operate. We mentioned it before, but let's talk about the law of gravity. How many of you are experiencing the law of gravity right now? Right? Without which we would be floating around. But there are other laws that can supersede that law for a time. You know, lift, velocity, different things of that. You can get it. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane before? How many of you have ever seen a bird before? You know, what do they do? There's other laws that can be enacted and acted upon that will supersede that law. Kind of like Romans chapter 8, where it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, there's certain laws that govern things. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 16 here for a minute. There are laws that govern things, like the laws that govern the new birth. This particular law I call the law of the whosoever. You know, you hear, and sometimes when you hear statements made and when you have thoughts that come, if you don't understand how God operates and the principles that are there, then it can get you off if you don't hold to the law. Right? Now, how many of you know how to turn a light switch on? But you know, there's laws that govern the flow of that electricity. And boy, you violate one of those laws, you'll find out. Amen. And it could cost you your life if it's too big. Well, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that it says, whosoever believes in him. Whosoever. Whosoever. Another scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice that term, whosoever. Well, who's that referred to? Whosoever. And so when you hear somebody say that, well, you know, they can't be born again, then you are violating the law of the whosoever. Well, they can't be saved. Then you're violating the law of the whosoever. Now, I realize certain laws can go into, you realize you can set aside that law by choosing not to believe. Right? If you don't believe, whosoever doesn't believe will not be saved. But whosoever does believe shall be saved. There are laws that govern, there are principles that govern the operation of the power of God. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I take time to turn to him just because I like to see him in my Bible too, but it gives you a little bit of time to turn to him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, King James says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. It is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is to this day. It is God's power to get wealth, God's ability to increase. Smith Wigglesworth made the statement, said, if you're not increasing, you're backsliding. That the walk with God is a continual increase in the things of God. We are to increase in so many different areas of life, but increase in our knowledge of the Word of God, increase in our prayer life, increase in our walking in love, increase in every area, growing up spiritually, becoming, increasing. And there, the power of God. There's wealth. There's that God will supply our needs. He back there in Psalm 115, he talked about. He said the heavens belong to God, but the earth he's given unto us. He wants to increase us more and more, us and our children. Not just financially, but it does include that. God is a God of increase. All right, Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. But there are laws and principles that govern the operation of the power of God, that govern the operating of that yoke-destroying anointing. You know, one of the ways that power is released is through our words. But how many of you realize that if everything you said came to pass, amen, but the Bible says whatsoever things we say, believe, we shall have. We do release the power of God through our words. But if we talk in violation of God's word, then we're not walking according to the principles of God. And so each of these laws of God, each of these things, the Bible talks about the law of love, that there's different things involved in with this. But I want to talk tonight about, and begin to talk tonight, and I could talk about this for a long time, and we just might do it, who knows. Not tonight, but as we go on. And that is the law or the principle of honor. The principle of honor. Honoring the Lord. First of all, to honor means to think, to consider something valuable, precious. It carries weight with you. It means to appreciate. How many of you know what appreciates gains in value? Right? It means to esteem highly. This is you can find all these in the dictionary. To favorably regard, to respect, to esteem highly and to respect. That's going to come into play here in just a little bit. But to dishonor means to treat something as common or ordinary. You know, we have lived probably, I don't know how many years it's been now here. It's always been in the world because, I'm going to tell you, the devil is a dishonorable dude. He esteems God. He's jealous of God, wants to be God, but he esteems God lightly. He disrespects God. And so he disrespects God's people. And the world operates according to that system. And I started hearing about this years ago. I didn't really understand it. I understand it more now about how that we live in a society that lacks honor, that takes things lightly. You know, you started to notice. Back, I can remember growing up, I didn't care. You know, just for instance, you know, this is an election year, but you never referred to it. I was born in the early '60s there. And I don't remember JFK at all, but I do remember President Johnson, President Kennedy, President Ford, President Carter. It was always President so-and-so. You watch the news reports today, Trump, Biden, Obama, the disrespect that's in our society today. It starts, first of all, you remember what the Bible says about honor your father and mother? Not your old man and your old lady. Amen. That disrespect. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, you have to call everybody sir, man, but I'm telling you, there's a lack. I was watching the golf tournament. I like to watch golf on TV. It's a good time to take a nap. But I like to watch it on TV. I like to watch it anyway. But, hey, I nap during. That's the only reason I watch professional football is take a nap on Sunday afternoon. Don't really. Yeah, it's okay. But they were talking about last year. A young golfer was in contention for the championship at the Memorial Tournament, which is run by Jack Nicklaus. He founded that tournament and there in outside of Columbus, Muirfield, Ohio. And this young golfer, while he was warming up for the final round, he hurt his back and was unable to play. And he came, before he left, he came and found Mr. Nicklaus, Jack Nicklaus. You know, one of the top two greatest golfers, you know, he's in the top five at least, wherever you want to put him, great golfer. Came and found him and apologized profusely that he had to withdraw from the tournament. Didn't have to do that. But respect. And then this year when he showed up, the first thing he did was went to Mr. Nicklaus again and said, I want to apologize for last year again. And I heard Mr. Nicklaus, I heard Jack Nicklaus say this on the broadcast this weekend. They were asking him about that. And they said, he's such a nice young man. Very respectful. And then he said this, and he's a pretty good golfer too. What was more important, that he was a pretty good golfer or that he showed respect and honor? You see, we have pockets of it, but this is something that if we're not careful, it creeps over into the things of God. And we don't give proper respect and give proper and esteem things highly and treat things as valuable and precious as we should. To dishonor means to disrespect, to devalue, to despise. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here is the story of Eli. Of course, Samuel's born here, but Eli, what we want to look at here, Eli's sons, Eli was the high priest, Eli's sons were doing all kinds of evil and dishonorable things. I mean, the women would come to worship God at the temple, and they were having relationships with them there, even in the temple, doing all kinds of ungodly things. And Eli sets it, but he never corrected them. In fact, we're going to read verse 30 of chapter 2, but in verse 29, God told him, Lord came to him and said, you have honored them above me, because he didn't correct them. He said, you've honored them above me. You know, it's possible for us to honor other things above God. Now, we're going to look tonight and in this study, looking at honoring God, and look at it this way, giving God our best and our first. Either way you want to say it, our first and our best. Anything else that replaces that puts me in a position of dishonoring the things of God. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 30. Wherefore the Lord, I'm going to read this out. Yeah, King James. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Now notice what God had said. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that God has said. But I want you to notice, but now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I want to notice that the promise of God to Eli disqualified himself from it because he did not honor God. Now, I know people don't like to hear that. Well, we're in the New Testament, bro. That's Old Testament. Well, that's written for our example. And don't tell me that because of the blood of Jesus is shed, we don't have to honor God anymore. Amen. Honor. Honor. You know, Romans 13 says we're supposed to give honor to whom honor is due. Respect, honor. But it starts with honoring God. Notice what he said here. They that despise me. That means dishonor there, see? It means dishonor means to despise. They that dishonor me shall be lightly esteemed. You know, sometimes we treat the things of God common. Just common, you know. Oh, it's church day or it's just whatever. We can just do, you know. Amen. And we all have to deal with it. And social media hadn't, and our phones and our electronics hadn't made it any easier. But what are we doing when we're supposed to be worshiping God? Well, I'm preaching good to me right now. I don't know about you. But you know what I'm saying. How easy is it? You know, I did an orientation for our students one year. I think I've done it twice now because I've done it enough to. But I think twice my subject was how to make the honor roll at Rhema. Because see, what you honor, you will receive from. What you honor will bless it. He said, I'll honor those who honor me, God said. You honor God's word, you're going to receive revelation from God's word. You honor the move of the Spirit, you're going to experience the move of the Spirit. You honor God's ways and God's principles of sowing, the law of sowing and reaping, and you sow, you are going to be honored by reaping. What you honor, you will receive from. And so, you know, where are we giving God the honor? Look at Proverbs chapter 3 now. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9 and 10. Let me turn over there in my Bible also. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That sounds like overflow to me. Plenty to do what? Plenty to do everything that needs to get done. And realize it's not just about me. One of the ways we honor God is by giving to the poor. Poor just means those that have a need. Honor God. Now let me say this. The more you increase, especially in this material area, the more of a blessing you can be. You see, when Jesus told about the man who had such a great harvest, he's just going to build another barn to store his harvest. What was wrong with that? Because he kept the blessing. He didn't honor God. He didn't help anybody. It was all for him. Selfishness is a dishonor to God. Because how can we say that we love God and we don't even love people? God help me, God help me. Well, help somebody. Amen. Honoring God. Honor the Lord with your substance. Your substance is your possessions, your material things. Let's break it right down. It's your silver and your gold. Now notice he says first fruits here. First fruits is another good way to emphasize the tithing principle. The first and the best. In fact, you know, as we are to bring the first and the best. Let me look. Hang on just a second here. Put that next verse up because I don't remember which one I told you is next. There we go, yeah. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 34 through 39 in the English Standard Bible. I brought that tonight. Nehemiah. See, some people say, well, tithing, that's not for us today. Well, how about honoring God? Is that still for us today? Absolutely. Absolutely, we're to honor God. Amen. That's never, there has not been a doing away of that. Besides that, tithing is not under the law anyway. It's just regulated for the Jews under the law. Tithing has always been a way to honor God. Here in Nehemiah 10, verse 35, I'm reading this from the English Standard Version. This is that the people have come and they've read the Word of God and they're rebuilding the walls there, and they say this: we obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks. And to bring the first of our dough and the contribution and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine, the oil, to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, to bring to the Levites the tithes from our ground. For it's the Levites who collect the tithes in all of our towns where we labor. And the priests, the sons of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the people of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, wine, and oil to the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary are, as well as the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers. Now notice this line: we will not neglect the house of our God. What does that mean? They said, we're going to bring the first for the house of God. In other words, we're going to bring the first and the best to God. You know, there was law in the law. You couldn't bring a injured animal as a sacrifice. You couldn't bring it had to be spotless, or at least the best that you had. Amen. And then also that if you didn't have that, you could bring your money. You could purchase something, you know, as you came. But that's why Jesus drove them out of the temple, because they're, you know, you bring your best, and that was acceptable with God. You brought your best. You brought your first. All right, as long as it wasn't lame and it wasn't like that, but you brought it. And they were telling them, no, that one doesn't qualify, but right over here, cousin Ahmed has one over here. You can go buy one over here, but we'll take this one, by the way. We'll take that off your hands. Now go buy. And they had made it a den of thieves instead of a house of worship and a house of power, like it was supposed to be. Amen. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. That Italian prophet Malachi. I don't know if that's true or not. I heard a minister say that once who was an Italian. Look at verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear, says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. See, there again. There again. Interesting, that despise my name. That's why we're told we're not supposed to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Right? You know, I've heard, you know, just different people. And again, I'm not trying to do away with the fact that God is our Father and God wants that relationship. But there needs to also be that reverence and respect for God there. That he is Almighty God. We sang this. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Right? He's Almighty God. And He's a Father to us, yes. But you know, just, there's one place in the Bible it talks about that uses the term Abba Father, and you got a whole group of people going around talking about Daddy God, and they do it in such a disrespectful way that He can't be Father God to them. How many of you parents have found out, you know, while your children are growing, now when they get older, it's a whole lot easier, but you can't be the best friend to them. You have to be the parent to them. Amen. Now, that's great when they bring their grandkids over. Good friends with them. Right? But you know what I'm saying. Because, you know, we have that. People ask me all the time, and especially in school, what do we call you? Right? First of all, my first name to the students, I tell them, my first name is not Dean. I know when Reverend Marvin Yoder was the dean. Dean Yoder. I had people, all kinds of people, you know, Dean. I said, Dean who? Dean Yoder. And that his name? I said, no, that's his job. But, you know, people thought that was saying. But I have, you know, I tell people this, listen, you refer to me at the level that you can still receive from me, from the gift of God that's in me. Now, there's some people, you know, like I said, you know, you can call me Tad. I remember as a student here 40 years ago, and on the athletic field, Pastor Hagen, he wasn't Pastor Hagen back, we didn't have Raymond Bible Church. I was already gone before a whole year before Raymond Bible Church started. And so we're out on the athletic field playing softball and I played basketball with him, and he would say, "Now, boys, out here, I'm not Reverend Hagen. I'm just Ken." Well, he and my parents, he's the same age as my. They're a few months older than him, but you know, his next birthday, he'll be the same age as my parents. I said, "I can't. There is no way I'm calling you Ken. At least, can I say Brother Ken? Because because I was raised." Amen? I could meddle with something here, but I'm not going to. No, I'm going to. You know. Now, you saw, if you were here this morning, you saw that video. You saw. You want to know why things happen when they travel to those places? Do you see the honor there? He wasn't Junior. I hear people calling him that. I want to lay hands on him so suddenly and repeatedly. Amen. Well, I just don't get anything for church. I wonder why. I'm pointing at you. I'm not pointing at anybody specifically. Honor. Honor. Amen. Now, you don't run up and bow down to any minister and say, "Oh, no. Stand up. I'm a man just like you. Let's talk. We're going to talk. Look me in the eye. Let's look eyeball to eyeball here." Amen. Honor. But he said, you've despised my name. They said, "Where have we despised your name?" He said, "You've offered polluted bread upon my altar," and you say, "Wherein have we polluted?" You said, "The table of the Lord's contemptible." And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you and accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. Now, for time's sake, we need to stop here. But if we want to see increase in every area of our life, it starts with the honor we're given to God. Honoring God. Amen. Honoring God. Honoring God. And going through. Well, the number one way we honor God is by doing His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do what His Word has to say. Love people. But have a deep respect for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the presence of God, for the move of God. Amen? Hallelujah. There's so much. I've only got 64 pages of notes on this. Only. It's one of the reasons why we teach a whole class on this in the college, because it's such an important subject. You will receive from what you honor. If you honor God, it positions you to be honored by Him. He said, I will honor those who honor me. He said, I will despise those who lightly esteem me. 1 Sam, that's what the Lord told. And when Eli was putting something else before God, He said, you have despised me. You have honored something ahead of me. So I just encourage each of us. Let's all just look at, you know. Now again, thank God for grace. Amen. I hear people, you know, I don't understand this giving up on people thing. You show me, look at God. Look at God. Look how God talked about people from the Old Testament, how they're referred to in the New Testament. David, a man after God's own heart. Really? Job was patient. 42 chapters of him losing his mind. No, he was patient. God was merciful. Last thing I'll leave you with, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How do I humble myself? I honor Him. Give honor to Him. God wants to increase us. He wants to increase us. He wants to increase. He wants to increase our altar calls and see more people get saved. He wants to increase the number of people who get rededicated their life. He wants to increase the number of people that you impact out there, not just in here. He wants to increase people that receive healing in their bodies. He wants to increase the move of the Spirit of God. He wants to increase our times of joy and laughter. He wants to increase us in every area. One of the keys of increase is to honor God, not just with our substance, but in all areas. Amen? So much we could say about that, but we don't have the time to do that right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand up on your feet if you would. Let's lift our hands and just thank God. Thank God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you tonight. Father, I pray that you would, Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of this subject of honor. Father, we just look to you. Mighty Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us. Lead us into your truth. Father, let this word rise up and live big within each one of us. Bring it to our remembrance. Show us, Lord God, ways that if we put things before you, that we would make that correction. Thank you for being so merciful and so gracious to us. Thank you for your good hand towards us, to this place in our life. But thank you, Father God, for the increase that's coming. Father, in all things, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to rededicate your life, you want prayer for anything tonight, if you're a lady, please come over here to our ladies. If you're a man, please come over here to our men. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God, and we believe you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night. Hey, don't forget, in the morning, 7:30 to 8:15, we got prayer Monday through Friday over at SDC1. All right, praying for revival. And then on Wednesdays from 11:30 to 12:30 in room 1278, same place at SDC1, Revive with Reverend Denise Burns. All right? So be a part of that. Come on, hook up in prayer with us. All right? God bless you. Have a great night. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Amen.